What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for a Wednesday on B&E. Jam packed, talking Texas hoops. Busy night of Big 12 hoops. Longhorns, unfortunately, come up on the short end of a home loss. Their first loss to the Frank Irwin Center this year. Disappointing to say the least. We hear from Chris Beard coming up. Also, talking to Gary Patterson at the game last night, taking it in with Chris Del Conte, watching hoops, going about their business. Feels like that role is already being filled. Somebody mentioned, because we talked to Chip Brown last week, Horn's 24/7 insider, and we were talking about this role with Gary Patterson and special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what he's allowed to do and not allowed to do.
Okay.
Somebody mentioned Will Muschamp had the exact same role at Georgia, and then he was on the sidelines. But I looked it up. Will Muschamp was brought to Georgia as an analyst. And Kirby Smart said he was brought in to coach the coaches, was his role, which is interesting.
So that made it so that he could go in on the field and coach the coaches?
Well, then I don't know, because someone said I saw him on the sidelines all year with headsets on, and then... But then with Dan Lanning, of course, was the defensive coordinator at Georgia, and he took the Oregon job. So during the, Will Muschamp kind of pretty much took over the defense for the bowl, for the championship run, along with the rest of the staff there. So he was on the sidelines. Was he there all year, though? And those are the things, until we hear what Gary Patterson's official role is, what the rules are within the NCAA, what he's allowed to do and not allowed to do, we're kind of guessing like everybody else, or what Steve Sarkisian even wants him to do. He's got a full coaching staff that they have roles and jobs. What is Kirby Smart said at the time, Will Muschamp was hired to coach my coaches.
He's not coming in as a co-defensive coordinator.
No.
That's not it.
Well, and now Will Muschamp actually has the title of co-defensive coordinator linebackers coach at Georgia, which since Dan Lanning's left. He's now gotten a...
Yeah, you lose a guy, you can bring in a guy.
Yeah, and this is the ambiguous role of what Gary Patterson is. Now, we talked about the posting the university put out for what they were looking for, special assistant to the head coach, and projects and film study, all these things. So eventually I do think there'll be some type of conversation with Steve Sarkisian about that and that role. I think it's a good move. I know you like it as far as what it can bring, and he brings a ton of experience and in this state and in this conference, and 7-3 all time against Texas. Talking about a guy that knows the blind spots of this program and what they look to attack when they're scouting and getting ready for the Longhorns. I mean, those are things that I think can only help if it's done in a healthy.
Absolutely, it has to be healthy because you can't come in stepping on toes.
Yeah, or sometimes you go by the Bill Parcells method. People on eggshells is good. Everyone needs to be on edge, looking over their shoulder. Like Zay's talking about the Texas basketball team. I don't think Steve Sarkisian is taking that track, but at the same time, they got to get better. Defense was bad. So a lot of people questioning the coaching on defense. How many times
I think Gary has made a lot of underrated type of players a lot better.
That's true.
So I think, and undersized players better at certain positions. I think that's what he can really, really bring, on how to attack from a physical point, leverage, things like that, that he knows from years and years of experience like that. I don't think he's going to be there to coordinate their secondary or something like that. They have people to do that job. And I don't think the special assistant is going to be going out and hanging out with alumni and doing stuff like that. That's Sark's deal. That's what he has to get used to doing.
Yeah, it is. I just got a text from our buddy Chad Hastings, who says he thinks that Will Muschamp became the special teams coach during the season when the guy they had there had some medical issues. Gary Patterson's part of the staff. What his role will be, I think, will be defined as we go. But what we do know is he was at the game last night. He's showing up every day at the facility.
By the way, it can put you on eggshells because your ass can get fired during the season. There's nothing that says a position coach can't get fired before the end of a season, right?
Well, I mean, I know.
We've seen head coaches that's happened to. So
I think, and this is my opinion, I think this is a different situation. But at the same time, we saw Mack Brown do this at the end of his run at Texas where he brought in Manny Diaz was the defensive coordinator, but the defense had struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Robinson, the now late Greg Robinson, was brought in as a and as an analyst kind of thing, right? And after the BYU game that year, when your guy, the boy on the bicycle, Taysom Hill, ran all over Texas, Manny Diaz was relieved of duties, and Greg Robinson
at
was
the
there.
Airport.
Greg Robinson was there to take over. And, you know, if you remember that season, that was a season that was left for dead, and Texas ended up playing for a Big 12 championship because Greg Robinson did a good job, and part of that was he was a part of the staff, knew the personnel, knew the team, was a, you know, didn't come in from outside, but he had already been there through the summer. So we'll see. I mean, what is the role? You know, we'll sit here and speculate about it on the radio. All we know is he's got a UT ID. He's showing up to the facility. He's got a key card now.
Dude, got his key card. It doesn't hurt. And you can, you know, people can say, well, it's, what is it? I mean, I know this. It doesn't help to have a guy like that on your around.
Doesn't hurt or help?
It doesn't hurt.
Gosh.
There's nothing to it that can hurt you.
We'll follow that. Longhorns continuing their offseason of upgrades, looking to continue to add talent to the roster and now adding, changing out two coaches on the offensive side of the ball with the Stan Drayton move to Temple and the hiring of Tashard Choice. Obviously, Brennan Marion brought in to replace Andre Coleman, and now Gary Patterson brought in as a special assistant to the head football coach. Let's get to the other headlines of your busy Wednesday morning. There's plenty of them. Trending topics include the Longhorn basketball team, part of a busy night in the Big 12. Not a good finish for the Longhorns. Longhorns' Timmy Allen hit a layup with 3:32 left to put the Horns up by 5, 65-60, but that would be the final point they would score in the game. Wildcats finished the game on a 6-0 run. They went at 66-65. Marcus Carr scored 19 of his 25 in the second half. That's a season high, but his potential game winner at the with 2 seconds left rimmed out. Courtney Ramey also missed a potential go-ahead jumper late. Timmy Allen missed a couple of big free throws down the stretch, and the Longhorns fall to 13-5 on the year. They're 3-3 now in Big 12 play for head coach Chris Beard.
Yeah, the message doesn't change. This is life in the Big 12. After 6 games, we're 3-3. We just got to keep fighting. It's disappointing losing at home again in front of such a great crowd. This is year one. We're building this thing. A lot of work went in tonight. So I want to thank the fans again. I want to apologize for the outcome. I promise you our guys are trying hard to win at this level of competition. Nights like tonight happen. But I hope that everybody came to the game tonight. We'll come back. These guys need you most after disappointing games like this.
Also in the Big 12, 5th-ranked Baylor and 7th-ranked Kansas both posted road wins. Baylor went to West Virginia and got a win over the Mountaineers. Kansas held off Oklahoma 67-64. And in Lubbock last night, 18th-ranked Texas Tech pulled away from Iowa State 72-60. Also in the top 25 from the state of Texas, how about the Houston Cougars? Kelvin Sampson and company get a victory last night. They're the 10th-ranked team in the land. They beat South Florida. To Texas football news, we mentioned the Gary Patterson story being at the basketball game last night. Also this morning, Horns 24/7 insider Chip Brown reporting that Texas kicker Cameron Dicker on Monday did file his paperwork and will make himself eligible for the NFL draft in April. NFL does provide underclassmen entering the draft 3 days to change their mind. It's not official until Friday, but all indications are that Dicker will move on to the pros. Texas did sign place kicker Will Stone from Austin Regents back in December. Also signed a kicker Isaac Pearson in 2021. And very sad news this morning. In a tweet late last night, former Austin KVU sports director Mike Barnes revealed that legendary Texas and ESPN broadcaster Ron Franklin has passed away at the age of 79.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start the new year off right by winning a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey when you rent, buy, or fix your construction or lawn equipment here at Top Gun. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
You know, against my better judgment, which there are times when I do have better judgment, I have made a change on my 3 picks.
We need to do these because today is
made,
your Friday.
Yeah, I have made a maneuver. I wish I could say I feel better about it, but I don't. Not quite sure.
All right, I'm going to write these down. Now, I will give you this. Since today is Wednesday, but you're off tomorrow and Friday, you're headed back to east.
Lines could change. I'm sticking with it, whether the lines change or not.
Well, no, you're going to lock these in.
They're locked in.
If you get to Pennsylvania and you talk to your buddy Hoofy and you talk to all, your criminal element buddies back there.
Yeah, well, Hoofy had Fly Eagles Fly over Tampa Bay, took the points. And so.
Homer.
No thanks, Hoofy.
Hoofy.
Done.
I love that name, Hoofy. Does he have hooves? Actual hooves? And you're gonna?
He's basically Michael Scully.
Michael Scully.
Yes.
Okay, you're Michael Godbolt.
Yes.
But so you're going to see your buddies, and you haven't seen your family back east in a while.
No.
I know that, so you're excited to get back there. But you're going to some cold, frigid conditions. You know that, right? You're going to It's going to be cold here.
It's Pennsylvania in January. Yes,
I know,
I understand
you know
that.
What you're into.
Believe me, I'm not expecting any by chance it'll be 62 degrees. No.
All right. Zay, do we have our football music? Because here's the deal. Since it is your Friday, you got to give these people, before you leave, your gold star lock picks for the
divisional
weekend.
I just want to know, do they believe in me? Do they believe in me now?
Well, you're now hitting at a robust 58, almost 59% for the season.
And over the last 16 games, I'm 93%.
14-1 is last 15 picks.
Yes.
63 picks on the year. You're hitting at a robust 58%.
Doesn't feel good,
building though. A nice bankroll for people out there. You told me a buddy of yours is going to buy an Apple Watch because of your picks. Or buy you an Apple Watch.
Yes.
But this is the hardest time of year. This is Las Vegas saying, yo, these games are coin flip games. As we said, the home teams in three of the games are a field goal favorite, which pretty much in Vegas, they power rate these games, and they give 3 points to the home team. And that would be the case in Tennessee over Cincinnati, Kansas City over Buffalo, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-point favorites over the LA Rams. The only line larger than three are the Green Bay Packers. They're 5-point favorites over the red-hot San Francisco 49ers. So, Buck, only four games to pick from.
Okay.
So,
let's start with that game right there. That was a game.
By the way, since there's only four, do you want to just pick two?
No.
Okay,
no,
pick three.
I'm giving you three. You know, and that's the game that I had switched around. I did like the 49ers. I like the direction they're going in. And they are reaching that crescendo right now. Plus, they're getting healthy. Plus, Shannon's calling some great games. But not so fast, my friend.
Not
are we talking
so fast.
About? Are we talking about Aaron Rodgers, the guy we started out the year with, making headlines before the season start and still making headlines throughout, and will be making headlines by the end of the season, and playing in Green Bay? Am I afraid of the 5-point line or 6-point line? What is wrong with me? We're talking about the 49ers versus cold, bitter Green Bay. I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. That's right. I'll give up the points. You take the points.
You're going to lay it to play it.
Losers.
Got to lay it to play it.
Yes.
But,
I'm going to go ahead and take the Green Bay Packers.
You've been riding. By the way, I will say this 14-1 run, I think of the 15 picks, I'm guessing 12 have been favorites.
Yes.
So you're riding the favorites, which is not always the best way, but you're rolling with it. So you take the favorite here.
Yes.
And more than a field goal.
And then I'll move to Pat Mahomes, which I'm calling him because...
No, his mama says Patrick.
Well, he will not be Patrick Mahomes after this weekend when the Bills Mafia comes to town and the Buffalo Bills and their upstart quarterback who's now in full stride playing and better than anybody in the NFL. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills to win by a field goal. That's right, in Kansas City. That
Bills,
run is over
that
with.
That would be their second win there this year.
Yes.
They won 38-20. Now, remember, in that 38-20, Kansas City lost to Buffalo back during the regular season. Chiefs turned the ball over four times.
Get ready
four
for more
times
turnovers.
In the football game.
Who is going to, forget covering receivers, who's going to cover the quarterback? Honey Badger is not coming out of the secondary to go face-to-face with Josh Allen. He's going to duck out of so many tackles this weekend. I'm taking the Bills.
All right, you've
and
got
then
the Bills
for the
at Arrowhead.
Stone Cold 10,000-unit play. Let's go with your Tennessee Titans.
My Tennessee Titans,
yes,
all of a sudden.
You're a Tennessee Titan guy. Let's go with them. I love the coach. I love the way they're playing. Derrick Henry's coming back. Foreman's playing well. Even if Derrick Henry is in limited play, they're still good enough to beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati not quite ready for prime time, and especially in this game.
Yeah, it felt like they were a little jittery against the the Vegas Raiders, right? That's a game that Raiders had a chance to tie or win.
They can't afford to come out slow in this and be a second-half team. They won't be around in the second half.
So your lock is Tennessee.
Defense. Yeah.
You're also got the wrong team favored game.
Yes.
Will be the Buffalo Bills. Outright. That's
and
a field
like
goal
the
win.
Packers.
Yes, and I like the Packers. Obviously, the other game, Bucks-Rams. What's your lean there? You're not going to make a pick in that. You know, the Rams seem to have a lot of advantages in that game.
Yeah, but they don't have Tom Brady.
They have Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
The Highland Park.
Thank you very
legend.
Much. But they don't have Thomas Brady. No.
Yeah, and they got to run the ball to be good. But my concern would be if Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen, their left tackle and or right tackle and center in Tampa, are banged up. You're watching. I mean, I know you can't take what you saw Monday night, but you got to look at it and say, man, Vaughn Miller looks like he's in midseason form.
It's more than just Aaron Donald on that defensive line right now. The linebackers are playing well.
Oh, Floyd. They are really athletic. And remember, they have maybe the best corner in football in Jalen Ramsey to try to take away Mike Evans, your guy Mike Evans. They lock him up. Who's the next guy? You know, they've got good athletic linebackers with Gronk. Now, Eric Weddle, remember they had to sign Eric Weddle to bring him in.
Yeah, that's kind of late in the season.
Out of retirement.
Yeah, dude was in the wrong place a couple times the other night. They didn't make him pay.
Yeah, it's fair to say that Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are not Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray that you're dealing with.
But, yes, 10K unit play with the Titans.
All right, I like it.
You like the Titans, don't you?
They scare me. They kind of lull you to sleep. They don't dominate, but they find ways.
In the fourth quarter, they can turn around and hand it off.
Well, and the fact that they made it, I thought for sure when Derrick Henry got hurt that they were going to collapse and the Colts would end up winning that division. Obviously, that did not happen. And Mike Vrabel got his team here, and now he's getting Derrick Henry back.
If there's any team that will make me pay, it will not be the 49ers.
Thank you, Zay.
It will be the Kansas City Chiefs. Will make me.
Yeah, that one's scary.
That will make me.
Good stuff, Zay. Appreciate the music. I like that. That adds the drama, the dramatic element. But who needs to add music to, or drama to these weekend? This weekend is such good football. And as I've said, I believe you can make a strong case for seven of
these. Yeah.
The only team I can't make a case to win the Super Bowl are the Bengals.
Yes.
And you probably could if you forced yourself to. But I think with a young head coach and with a young quarterback like Burrow, this is their signaling that they're going to be in this thing moving forward. And you can add Joe Burrow and the Bengals to the Josh Allen.
And I think we've all been kind of waiting for the Bills. Is Josh Allen the real deal?
Well, he is. And that's where the Bills, you know, they played the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game. So they were on the doorstep, and they came up short in that game. But I think we would all say Josh Allen is playing to a much higher level now than he was then. I mean, he's playing great last year, but playing even better. And the element that has changed for Buffalo in this last month is they've gotten their running game going.
True.
Singletary has become a real threat. Their offensive line is playing better. But the Chiefs, you know, these are mirror image teams. They're just both so dynamic offensively. They've got such great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me the Chiefs had somebody in there, a safety that'll come up and just absolutely put you down if you take off as a running back or a quarterback, I don't think they have it. And Josh Allen is not going to shy away from contact on, was it Sunday night? That dude doesn't care. He's not going to slide if there's 3 yards to go. He's going to either shake you or he's going to run you over. And guys like the Honey Badger, this part of their career, those guys don't want any part of a 6'4", 245-pound even quarterback like Josh Allen running up in through your secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to – he was the best player of Wild Card Weekend.
He was playing at a different level than everybody.
Yeah, he was just unreal. And Bill Belichick, as we've said, was just lost for answers with a good defense. Top five defense in this league. But Patrick Mahomes has done that to a lot of people for a while now.
Yes.
And he's still got all his weapons. And they've added weapons in their backfield. So love that game. Love all these games. Because I look at the Buccaneers-Rams game and think that's kind of a mirror image game. You've got, obviously you've got Tom Brady, which could be the great separator. But I heard Kevin Dunn say this yesterday, and I don't disagree. What the Buccaneers do not have is a deep threat. They don't have a guy that can scare your defense vertically.
No.
And if you have Jalen Ramsey on Mike Evans, and, you know, to me, as we sit here, it's about the health of the offensive line in that game. Hopefully we get more details before Friday on that. And then Leonard Fournette.
You know the center is going to be playing. You know that.
Yeah, he'll tough it out.
Yeah.
And then Leonard Fournette. But look, even if Tristan Wirfs plays, he's going to be gimpy. He's playing on a bad angle.
Against those guys.
Yeah. They're going to attack him. Without a doubt. So the Leonard Fournette thing for me becomes big. If Fournette can play and they can establish a ground game, that could neutralize some of that pass rush. But man, Rams looked.
And by the way,
dynamic.
Miller has to play well too. He's got to be a part of it at wide receiver. Mike Evans can't do it.
So
all.
You're taking the two teams off the bye, which is fair. Those guys' teams typically come in fresh. Remember, Green Bay has almost 2 weeks off because they rested a bunch of dudes against Detroit in the final week. Tennessee had the week off, Green Bay had the week off, and here they come.
And generally, weather is not a factor in pro sports. I mean, it's just a part of it. A lot of guys that play on these teams have played in cold weather before.
Well,
and for the 49ers, no.
The biggest factor weather-wise
I think it will be a factor for the 49ers.
Well, if they can
to Green
run the
Bay.
Ball, get this guy.
Well,
Debo.
The big factor is Bosa not playing.
Well, if he doesn't play, has he already been ruled out?
I don't know if he's been ruled out, Zay, but you know what I would have to do with him. Hey, let's go. Tee it up.
Concussion? What is that?
No, what do you mean concussion? You know, you can't do that. I can't
your
coach.
Bell rung. Get in the game.
It's just a little dinging in your head. It will go away with the first hit, right, Zay? Won't it go away after the first series? Not quite.
Or does it come? You'll never, ever coach again, clearly.
Why?
With those statements, you have no chance of ever.
What are you talking about? What are we playing, tennis here? What, did somebody hit you with a racket? Or you got close to the net and you took a fast tennis ball to the head? You got to go out of there.
No, we'll see. Boza obviously will be a big loss if they don't have him because he's – Cowboys found it out. That guy, everybody knows he's a great pressure player in these spots.
And but if there's no pressure on Aaron Rodgers, E, at home?
Well, and we remember the NFC Championship game from a couple of years ago.
Not the one where he didn't run.
Where the 49 – no, no, 2 years ago.
Remember he's going to run.
Remember 2 years ago the Packers were 13-3 and we had to go to San Francisco – and San Francisco punched him in the face and beat him 37-8 or whatever.
Was that the year that San Francisco beat him twice every time Green Bay showed up in San Francisco?
Yeah, and then, of course, the 49ers went to the Super Bowl and then lost in the Super Bowl. But, you know, the Packers have beaten the 49ers twice since that game. The last two games have gone to the Packers over the 49ers.
I'm starting to think that Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl and retires and just doesn't play football anymore.
Wouldn't surprise you. But this would be the ultimate John Elway. You win back-to-back MVPs in a Super Bowl and say, see ya.
Yeah, see, there's somebody. I agree with you, Buck. Suck it up. Get in there and play. Come on.
No.
I mean, what is it? It's Wednesday now. He should be feeling okay by the game on – is it a Saturday game or Sunday?
That's the night game Saturday, the 49ers.
Shouldn't he be okay by then, Zay?
It's going to be snowing.
It's not going to be – his head's not ringing any longer. It's just that blurriness and that.
Why are you saying this? You know they're not going to. They don't clear him medically with the doctors and the neurosurgeons. He can't play. Do you follow the rules? The football rules of today?
Dr. Vinny Bumbatz. Vinny Bumbatz would say, hey, let's go.
Well, if it was happening during the game, maybe. But week of, the brain doctors have their say.
Dude, by the second series, you're okay. Things are feeling normal because you're ringing in there. That helmet's ringing on the inside by the second series anyway.
What did Ricky say when he came back to the sideline?
He goes,
wow, this San Diego weather is lovely.
He said,
oh, it don't matter. Get back in the game, Ricky.
I said, you'll start. He goes, I don't remember some of these plays. I said, it'll come back to you. By halftime, you should be okay. I didn't know any better then, though. I know better now. I could not put a player in like that. Because then you'd be like I am right now at 60, trying to figure out.
Because you got a bet on it. Yeah, get your ass in there.
Trying to figure out what's up and down
right
now.
Brain injury that you're dealing with. But yeah, that's the Bucky look at the divisional weekend. Obviously, we'll have guests and conversation leading up to it. Bucky's off Thursday and Friday, so wanted to get those picks in. And keep in mind, he's on a 14-1 streak.
Be advised that I'm still hot. Those aren't just
you
picks I threw out
aren't
there.
Aren't hot, you are on fire.
There you go. I am on fire. Zay, you may even think about some of those cards that you got from the wedding, going in there, opening them up yourself, and getting some of that out of there and making that decision. Call BetUS.
Yeah, I'm sure my wife would love that.
Are you saying she has to know?
A little bit.
All right.
This is fresh, still. You're trying to get me in the doghouse early.
Split it with her. Split the winnings with her.
You just got married, and you're going to get
them two anniversaries.
Rip out their wedding gift
and
money
forget,
and spend it on gambling. That's a good idea.
Hey, you've got two anniversaries you're going to have to pay for,
no,
right?
I don't. I do not.
Okay. That's what you say.
We'll be back. When we do, we pick up these conversations. Longhorn Hoops last night, extremely disappointing. How about no points in the final 3:33 of the game? They end up losing to the K-State Wildcats. How big a loss is that? We'll hear from Craig Way and his Craig Way Report. We've got your gossip and a blitz on this Wednesday. So much to do. Bring it strong. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Before the top of the hour, we'll get some salacious gossip. How about this, including all this time later, has Eric Dickerson finally admitted the origins of that legendary gold Trans Am? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Eric Dickerson out of Sealy, Texas. Everybody in the state of Texas trying to get a hold of one of the more talented high school running backs of all time. And
so if he was not going to write a book, he would have never told anybody this deal. It would just stay.
Well, that's why we're putting it in salacious gossip.
Mm.
We'll report, you decide. But, of course, now name, image, and likeness, and kids are signing contracts. But, you know, the funny part of name, image, and likeness, and everybody that's aghast by it, we do remember this was happening in the 80s, and this has been happening for a long time. I mean, the governor of the state had to admit that, that SMU players were on a payroll that they had to meet on a monthly basis. I mean, this is not new, the whole idea of paying players, but it's now legal.
I think people liked it better when it was illegal.
Illicit, under the table.
Oh, when they used to hear about bags of money and stuff, they felt better about themselves in college football.
My.
When they were doing it when it was scrupulous. They kind of liked that, right?
I guess.
Over the top means.
Because people are now offended by it. It's like, yes. Why? I mean, this is these youngsters, this is the second most popular sport in this country. They should have been making, getting a share of the profits all along. And if they were under the table, good. But now they can.
Cash only, homie.
Are you going to not watch the games?
No, people watch just probably more this year.
I mean, I've never understood it. You know me. You know me 22 years on this show. 25 years we've been talking about this conversation. Did people care at Texas that Ricky Williams was getting paid to play baseball and was making money while he was playing and winning a Heisman Trophy at Texas?
Why half of them didn't know what he was getting his money.
Who
half
cares?
Half
Does
of them didn't realize the fact that he paid for his scholarship. He wasn't on a scholarship. He was paid for.
I know, but did that make you root for the player less?
No.
He was a professional while he was playing here. But he was one of the great players of all time, by all means. But we'll get to that, Eric.
And that's why when he was concussed, I had to get the most I could get out of him. I had to get...
He said, you're getting paid.
You're getting paid? What are you talking about?
No.
Great coaching, clearly.
Great coaching.
Now you're saying I can't coach another down. Can I do a clinic or anything?
It says, hey, Bucky E. Hogan, how many points did the Packers beat the 49ers by that last game? 2 points. In Green Bay, if Bosa plays, 49ers will beat the line. If not, the Packers will cover.
I'm going to call his dad and say, you need to keep your son out of the game.
Bosa?
Yeah.
Now,
John Bosa.
That's how old you are. That's
yes,
a neat story. You coached John Bosa,
yes.
Who is the father of Nick and Joey. That was at Boston College.
And he was a first-round draft pick.
He was. And those kids grew up learning defensive line
technique.
Used to
be John Noza. Because they had the Bosa Noza.
Which one of the Bosas has the nose? That's Nick.
Yes.
Nick in San Francisco's
well,
got
they're
the
both kind of both do.
You know, Joey doesn't have... I got to look.
When laying on their backs in a pool, you start going, shark! Shark!
No! Oh, the nose.
Sensitivity training, I'm back again.
I already said Ryan Fitzpatrick's got a dad bod, which he does.
Is that your way of saying he's rounded? Somebody said...
You go look at the picture. Google the picture of Ryan Fitzmagic in his shirt off at the Bills game last Saturday and tell me he doesn't have a dad bod. But I have one. There's nothing wrong with that. Zay, is there anything wrong with a dad bod, man?
No, not at all. Women prefer it nowadays.
Ooh, is that true?
They don't want all those muscles six. They don't want the Rod Babers six-pack. I venture to say they dig the Rod Babers six-pack still.
No, there's a comfort level to the dad bod. When you got that six-pack, that means you're out hunting still.
No, really?
Yeah, what do you mean the six-pack? What are you working for?
Why are you working out?
Why are you working out?
Just to keep look good.
I mean, girls, women don't think that.
They think you're up to something, huh? If you look too good.
They'd rather you be at home with the Bud Light, sipping that thing.
Sipping that cognac, watching the game.
Yeah, arm around her.
Okay. Then I was gonna get after it. I'm not getting after it now. Back off the treadmill.
You're so skinny, and the curls. It doesn't matter. You don't have a dad bod. You've got chicken legs.
Chicken wings.
But yes, I see where Zay's going with that. But I still think they deep down prefer like the Ryan Gosling look or something, right?
They like to reach over and feel those ripples. They don't want to feel over and put their hand in a thing of Jell-O.
In his prime.
Is that Jell-O pudding up in here?
Ooh, what is that? Pudding pop?
Is that pudding pop?
So, by the way, when Rod Babers primed, he had a 12-pack.
Oh,
back
not just
when he was
six.
Wearing number 21 and playing at Texas, and he'd pull that.
Oh yeah, he would pull that thing
Zeke
up,
Elliott
right?
Thing going. That dude had, and he should be proud of that. That takes a lot of work. He's got natural good genetics, Rod Babers.
He should have used
the neck
collar.
He should not have worn the neck roll.
No,
he might have gotten some of them sticky gloves. He would have had more interceptions because Rod didn't catch very well. But he was a hell of a player.
Rod did have feet for hands.
That's why he played defensive back. But he was good at it, and he had I never had it. 12-pack like
Zay,
that guy.
I'm going the other way. I'm venturing to saying after you're even in your 30s and 40s, mama still likes to reach down there and feel that part. She doesn't.
What part?
The dad bod part.
Oh, like rub your washboard stomach?
Well, they'd like to still put their hand on your chest and even your back, you know. And when they come back and go, ooh, what was that? That was me, honey.
That was me.
That was me.
Hey, listen.
I remember advice, when what?
Relationship advice from the show of the people. Never listen
Absolutely.
To it. You know what I'm saying?
Please listen to it.
Yeah, please. Please don't. So Longhorn hoops last night. Frustrating. I think it would be the word. Disappointing. Zay's trying to figure out why Tristan Lincoln. Is that his name? Lincoln? Tristan? His name Tristan? What's his name?
Ollie.
Ollie. You call him Ollie from Hoosiers. He's a walk-on graduate transfer from UTEP or El Paso. We're trying to figure out these rotations. We will. That's the cool part about it. On Friday, Chris Beard will join us.
And by the way, Timmy Allen can't go to the free throw line and miss two free throws.
Well, that's kind of the thing with me, as if because
those are free, right, Zay? As a basketball guy, those are free. Nobody's doing anything to you.
He actually missed three big free throws. That and one that he got, which was the last bucket before they went on that.
And you tell me they called timeout to ice him and let that simmer a little bit.
I wouldn't say ice him, but he got really hype on that and one. And then coach called a timeout. Chris Beard was getting the crowd hype, and the crowd was really energetic. And then
you like it better if you're not hyped up at the free throw line. You like it better when things are calm and cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I understand getting hype after you finish a layup and get fouled, especially in a big possession like that. But yeah, Timmy Allen, he was
well. Those were big,
night.
And that's where because we're gonna micromanage or micro discuss all of it and. Who's doing what and how you lose this game at home. But in the end, they just didn't put the ball in the basket. I mean, the Marcus Carr look at the end was a good look. Courtney Ramey got a good look at a bucket. Timmy Allen made his first five free throws and missed his last three. And those came in the final 3 minutes. I mean, three and a half. So, yeah, to go scoreless in the last 3.5 minutes, you're not going to win a lot of those games in the Big 12. We know in this conference, no matter who you're playing from first place to last place, it's probably going to be a final 4 minute kind of game. And that's why Chris Beard talks about it all the time, the final 4 minutes. But, we'll talk to Chris and Coach Beard on Friday. He's talked about this team being its best version of itself in February and into March. Right now, they're clearly still trying to figure things out. Let's hear him talking about Trey Mitchell and Dylan Dessou. That jumps off the scorebook when you watch the game, but then you look at the score page. Trey Mitchell played just 11 minutes last night. Dylan Dessou played just 7 minutes last night. Those are two of your bigs. I mean, Timmy Allen, but your front line is Mitchell, Christian Bishop, and Dylan Dessou. Bishop was in there, but Bishop played 24 minutes, but they... And those guys were sitting on the bench for a lot of the game last night. Here's Chris Beard afterwards about those guys need to bring some more, immediacy to the situation.
Yeah, film doesn't lie. And I know this. You said consistency. Yes, those guys got to be a lot more consistent, as do all of our players. And I think with those specific guys, I'd like to see more of an urgency, a competitive spirit. I thought K-State came in here tonight and they turned the game into a street fight, and we're willing and able and capable and more than excited to be in a street fight. But we had some players on our team tonight that looked like they kind of got punched in the face a few times. We got to be a lot more aggressive. There needs to be an urgency to everybody that plays for us in this league right now. I mean, you can't come in and get warmed up. When you come in the game, you got to be ready to roll.
Yeah, and in this conference, it looks like, Zay, you really can't come to a gunfight with a knife. It's not going to work. And I'm noticing more of the Big 12 teams are, even Kansas, even the mainstay who's been that group forever, it's not about so much about talent. They're going to scrap with you. They're going to get on the ground with you now. They're not as individually – they're individually talented, but not like they usually are, where they just have straight-up talent and great coaching to go along with it. They look like a lot of other teams look in the Big 12 this year where you're going to have – this is a dogfight league. And you're going to get on loose balls and dive into the stands and stuff like that. I mean, I saw them last night doing that. I was surprised. And they went and beat Oklahoma. And that's what they had to do to win. That wasn't just we just outskilled them. We were in a fight. And it looks like most of the teams in the Big 12, well, there's not a lot of finesse teams. It's all dogfight teams, looks like.
There's no finesse teams, not one. And this Texas Longhorn team, they're not big. Like Courtney Ramey, Andrew Jones, those guys are just 6'4". They're not the biggest guys. So It's interesting with how these lineups and rotation works because, like he was talking about with Dessou and Mitchell, who none of them played over 12 minutes, why isn't Timmy Allen playing the three to give you just more physicality down low, and especially when you got Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones in and out the lineup like you have, move one of those guys to the two, put Timmy Allen at the three, and maybe have Dessou, Mitchell,
or Christian Bishop at the 4 and 5 and see what works. But they don't do that. You see Timmy Allen at the 4 the whole entire game, and it's very confusing on why they're not making certain adjustments as the game goes on.
Well, I'll go back to my issue with the guards, because they can't seem to have two guards to have a good game at the same time. Marcus Carr had his 25 points, but you know Andrew Jones had a 2-for-6 shooting night and scored 5 points after having been your leading scorer the last two games. Those are the roles, and I think Zay's saying it right. I mean, you got to figure out, and this is why when Chris Beard says we want the best version of ourselves February into March,
right?
You know, I think this roster will get pared back. I don't think you're going to see 8-10 guys playing deep into February and into March. I think it's going to pare back. You know, you get the rotations. I hope that's the case with Chris Beard. And maybe they were just enjoying their honey chicken butter biscuit thing deal that they gave away.
That's true.
And you know what else happened yesterday? Classes started back.
No.
Yeah, back to class. Back to class. Maybe that was a distraction.
They're still doing school, right? They got to do school.
Last I heard, they're still doing school. But that's what UT's doing. We'll also get back into the football. As we've said all morning, Gary Patterson was at the game last night. The new Texas special assistant to the head coach was sitting with the athletic director, Chris Del Conte, at the game and enjoying the ball game. We'll get more on that coming up. We will get into this salacious gossip story involving Eric Dickerson. We'll also get your blitz. They've been strong this week. A lot of venom.
And I won't be here for buck-ons and buck-offs tomorrow, obviously, but I'm going to have to say buck off to Dak Prescott and buck on to Dak Prescott. And I hope nobody had to tell him, hey, dude, you need to get on your Twitter or whatever your means of communication is and say, I made a mistake by saying that about the officials and what you should be doing to the officials. That was smart on his camps.
Well, he needed to do that. That was low class of him to credit the fans for throwing things at the officials. You should never do that.
No.
We'll come back. We'll hit the gossip. Load up your blitz. First, Craig White.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, man, Blitz is coming up, so load that up. But it's Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer.
Rest in peace to Ron Franklin.
Makes the good times great. Great times unforgettable. Make sure Bud Light is always with you in the divisional playoff weekend. Whatever you're doing, be safe, be smart, be an adult, but do it with an ice cold Bud Light. And yes, rest in peace to the legendary Ron Franklin. And, man, the soundtrack of your head, in your head of sports. I grew up in Houston, so Ron Franklin, I first knew him as a TV sportscaster. KHOU, Channel 11, then he was on Channel 2, and then he was doing Oilers games, Love You Blue.
Love You Blue.
Then in 1983, he came here and became the voice of the Longhorns. And maybe Craig Way's listening, he'll let us know. I think he was the voice of the Longhorns until Bill Schoening took over. I think that's true.
Craig would know.
Craig will give us the rundown, but, yes. But Ron did it. And then in 1987, he went to ESPN, where that began a 25-year career at ESPN doing college football games and college basketball games. I think there was a Brad Sham time where Brad Sham was the voice of the Longhorns. And that might have been ahead of Bill Schoening. Then Bill Schoening, then Craig Way. Well, then it was Bill Schoening and Craig Way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a legend, 79 years old. Rest in peace, of course. Some off-the-nose stories, Buck. Eric Dickerson has finally admitted what everybody knew. In 1979, when he was being recruited by everybody in the state, including the Longhorns, including the Aggies, it was an Aggie booster that bought him the gold Trans Am. That's right. Admitted in a new memoir, written, Watch My Smoke, the Eric Dickerson story. They published an excerpt of it in D Magazine. Yep. How about this? He says in the excerpt that he had already turned down $50,000.
They brought a bag. They brought A suitcase.
Yes, he said. Texas A&M even revealed that he received a suitcase filled with $50,000 to go to A&M.
Cash only,
but
homie.
He turned that down. But how about this from him in this book? He said, and then at one point, said a few weeks later, I mentioned to my stepdad in passing that I really liked that new Pontiac Trans Am I'd seen in a dealership parking lot
on
I-10.
Wow.
The gold one with the bird on the hood. Next thing you know, Eric Dickerson says it was an innocent comment, but then one of the boosters named Shear at Texas A&M said, oh, we can make that happen.
How about that, Zay? We can make that happen.
Yo, the stepdad was trying to get that bag.
He wanted that.
The stepdad was so greedy.
Well, we know the story now, but he subsequently committed to Texas A&M, and then he flipped SMU and kept the car.
Do you keep that car, Zay, or do you give that car back? You got to give that car back.
You give it back.
Yo, CeCe had a Trans Am in college.
It's just like Smokey and the Bandit, but it's gold. That is a
His was orange.
They're doing Trans Ams. Ricky was driving Beamers.
Dickerson says he eventually sold the Trans Am to a former teammate. And forever, forever, everyone knew this, but he always told people that his grandfather bought him the Trans Am.
Yeah, they said his grandpops worked in the steel mill, and he made...
No, he was a crane operator, yeah.
He made some...
Made good money with the crane operator.
I know about the crane operators because I was beam yard buck in Bethlehem still. I was in the beam yards. Cranes going over your head.
So the Aggies got him the car, and he didn't come there. Now the Aggies are winning name, image, and likeness. Go figure. Longhorns aren't doing bad either. Hey, Browns defensive tackle Malik McDowell.
That's sad.
This seems like a mental illness story. But yes. Malik McDowell was arrested on Monday facing charges of aggravated battery of an officer, resisting an officer, and violence, and exposing his sexual organ in public. 25-year-old Leslie walked into a children's learning center naked in Deerfield Beach, Florida, and attacked a deputy.
That dude stripped down and just started walking around.
Yeah. You do that at your house, but that's your house.
Yeah.
Also, did you grow up listening, if you're a kid of my age, a person my age, you grew up listening to Weird Al Yankovic?
Of course.
Yankovic. Were you ever a Yankovic guy? Well, there's now a biopic being made based on the life of Weird Al.
Wow.
Yankovic. It's called Weird. And you know who's going to play him? Got to play the lead? Daniel Radcliffe. Daniel Radcliffe. He is the
Harry Potter?
The Harry Potter himself.
Come on, man.
Harry Potter himself will play Weird Al in the Weird Al, the Al Yankovic story.
Wow.
There you go. Today is also National Popcorn Day, and it probably doesn't surprise you that 92% of people say they like popcorn. Only 8% of you say you don't like popcorn.
What percentage of them did funny things with the box?
I cut a hole in the bottom at the movie theater like you tried to do.
No, I've never done that. I never even thought of that.
Hey, why don't you reach on down and grab you some.
Grab yourself some of these buttered popcorn. Wow. Man, oh man. That's great.
Let's go to your list. This is going to get ugly.
It is going to get ugly.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
I'm probably going to be glad I'm leaving town after this. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Chris Beard is too busy passing out pizza, mimosas, and biscuits. He's not grinding like he was in Lubbock.
No. He's still, that doesn't mean he's not grinding. You got to do both here, because you know what I say about basketball here. They're starting to like basketball here. Next Blitzer, you're up. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, it sounds like they got a dime on the twine. I don't understand why they're passing up all these open shots.
Interesting. Next Blitzer, you're up.
No bandwagon for me. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo.
There Bills. Is. Bills at Chiefs. Bills. That's one of your picks.
There you go. Next Blitzer, you're up.
What's up, you dumbass Aggies? Eric only gave you the first half of his last name. What I want to know is how much did they give them refs in Dallas?
Whoa. All on the refs now. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, look at that. My dreams came true. UT hired Gary Patterson. I called it.
You called that?
Good call.
Good job. Good call. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Vince Young. Yeah, hey, Bert, when you're going to not work for a couple of days, you don't need to tell us about it. Just don't show up.
Come on, man. Next Blitzer, you're up.
That was before.
Here's a better phone connection. Let's try this again. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. New bandwagon for you, baby.
New bandwagon for Sal. Next Blitzer, you're up.
South Cowgirl fans throwing trash on the field. Only fan base the biggest crybabies when they win or they lose, and overinflated when they win. How about them cow pies?
Gosh. Next year, Ian.
Walking shoes have been put away. As a matter of fact, the walking shoes have not yet been
purchased.
They've
never been out, have they?
And between now and next year, maybe need you to get me that Skechers deal.
I won't do
you
it.
Realize
on,
if the
I won't
Cowboys,
do Skechers on the golf shoes. Not enough support for me.
Maybe
I need to be anchored down.
That Jerry Jones will announce that Will McClay is the new general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, they had to fight to keep him because there were teams wanting to interview him and hire him. Maybe then, because that would change the bet.
You think he'd be part of that deal this year, too, with all these free agents that may be out there?
Well, he better. He's helped them draft a lot of great players, but now a bunch of those key guys are hitting free agency. Leighton Vander Esch, Dalton Schultz, Connor Williams was a second-round pick, Randy Gregory.
Sure, right.
Because they're all free agents this offseason. But, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, if I have to walk to Dallas next year, Buck, I'll be 50 years old. You realize that?
Whoa.
I made the promise when I was, like, 27.
If you didn't go this year, why would there's probably not a chance you're going anytime
good.
Soon.
I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm walking.
I still say you got to keep Dalton Schultz.
Can they? We'll get into that. Hey, coming up, Lifetime Longhorn Will Matthews joins our show. Of course, from the sidelines of UT this year, did a great job in his first year. We'll talk Texas football, the Gary Patterson hire, the direction, and he's got a big event he's a part of this weekend. So we'll talk to Will coming up. Also, Tom Gimbel's got your live music update on a Wednesday. It's a jam-packed midweek Wednesday on the Show of the People.